Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a world first for you. It's the inaugural United Nations World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. Each year, millions of children, men and women from all regions of the globe are trafficked and their hopes stolen. Jenny Stanger has been advocating for trafficked people since the late 1990s. In 2005, Jenny co-founded the Anti-Slavery Project in the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology in Sydney. Since then, Jenny has served as the supervisor for Australia's first refuge for trafficked women and is now the national manager of the Salvos Freedom Partnership to End Modern Slavery. Jenny Stanger, welcome to Open House. When did you first realise that we're living in a world where the slave trade is a booming industry?
Yeah, well, I remember really it was the media that gave information about a case in my community involving 72 Thai garment workers who were being held in what looked like an everyday apartment complex, but they were being held behind barbed wire with armed guards on the roof. Some of them had been there for 7 years making clothes for, you know, for retailers that were known retailers. So, and it was, you know, it was quite a startling case because it was clear that people had been victimized, but there was no adequate legislation or response in place that didn't treat them as criminals because they were not lawful in the United States at the time. So the people who really had been victimized were arrested and put in jail.
What are the other forms of slavery that are happening right around us that perhaps are invisible, except maybe only to an alert, educated eye like yours?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that can happen across industries. And, you know, we're looking at situations in construction, manufacturing, in agriculture, in retail even, in hospitality,
really?
Cleaning, nail salons, you know, bakeries, restaurants, the opportunities for people to put someone into a situation of servitude or to traffic them into slavery, you know, are actually quite endless. And, you know, the case that I referred to in Los Angeles, that was a prison. That was a prison with barbed wire. But modern slavery can be comprised of a prison without walls, where someone's passport has been taken, where they're being threatened with violence or there's actual violence being used against them, or threats of violence to get against their family members back home. That's sometimes what the prison is made out of. So there can be people trapped in a prison without walls, and they're being exploited for the profit of someone else, and it can occur in a lot of industries right across the country.
So let's be clear, there are slaves in Australia, in our neighbourhoods right now. This isn't an over-there conversation, is it?
Yes, that's right. And I think what we've had over the last 10 years is a focus on the sex industry and a response on the part of government that was really tailored to address highly exploitative and criminal behavior in the sex industry. So I think our, you know, while many, many women have been helped to get out of slavery in the sex industry and indeed, you know, avoid that kind of situation in the future, the sort of downside of that response over the last 10 years is that people are not really thinking more broadly about who a victim might be, how that person could be helped, and that someone could actually be hidden in plain sight on construction sites, you know, on market farms, you know, in horticulture, or even in the green grocer, putting, you know, apples.
Goodness.
Putting out apples and tomatoes.
Jenny, you've been on the front line of this global anti-slavery push for some time now, haven't you? You opened the first refuge for trafficked persons in America in 2003, coming to Australia then and opening up Australia's first refuge for women who've experienced trafficking in 2007. Was that a difficult conversation to have here in Australia to get people to understand slavery existed in our country?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Salvation Army was actually fairly quick to come to the table with resources and a place for adult women to
fabulous.
Be able to, you know, have support. So it was interesting because the Salvation Army really didn't hesitate at all.
Yeah.
And I think the timing was right in terms of there being a place available. So to my, you know, surprise, making the refuge happen wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. I think, you know, what the challenge is now is, you know, there is an Australian response that's been implemented on the part of government. We actually have new laws that came into force last year that really level the playing field in terms of addressing slavery right across industry. So what we really need to do is get average Australians involved, get the business sector involved, get community clubs and students involved in understanding this issue, being alert to it, and taking some action so that we're not contributing to slavery and so that slavery doesn't happen here in Australia. So we're trying to close that gap with our new initiative, the Freedom Partnership to End Modern Slavery. It's a National Salvation Army initiative. We'd like people to get onto our website, take our Freedom Pledge. And if you want to do something more than kind of be an online organizer activist, we'd really like you to contact the Freedom Partnership so we can support you to take some action in your community.
So given, Jenny, that there are trafficked people all around us, not just locked behind doors in brothels, for instance, how do we know that we're looking at somebody or talking with somebody who has been trafficked?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real difficult and confronting issue, I think, you know, but a lot of products around the world are produced with slave labor, or there are products where there's quite a risk of slave labor. It's really important to learn a bit more about where the risk might be and how your dollars might be contributing to the enslavement of someone else somewhere else in the world. So it's a difficult issue, but, you know, I think this is, it's a similar discussion that probably William Wilberforce, you know, that when the British were ending slavery, when the Americans were trying to end slavery, I think it's just this conversation that we need to have again. You know, it's a difficult conversation. It's complex to untangle the supply chains of all these products that we use every day. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it, and it doesn't mean that it can't be done. So we just invite people to get online, become a part of the discussion, and take some action, because every action counts.
Logic would dictate, Jenny, that a $2 shirt is costing somebody something, if not us in dollars and cents. But what about in our local neighbourhoods, at the salon or at the grocers, as you said before? Are you suggesting we actually ask them if they're there of their own free will to check if they are a trafficked person and want to do something about it?
Look, my experience working with people who have been in those situations is that they are relying on other members of the community to see their situation, to ask if they're okay, and to offer them some assistance. So yes, you know, we do need to have caring communities where, you know, people know who's in their community and people are looking out for people in their community. So people in that situation, they are relying on someone seeing the situation and offering them help. So it's perfectly okay to ask people some questions about their situation and to find out if they need help and if someone does need help. We had one woman who called us the following day from her massage because she asked the woman giving her the massage, "Are you okay?" And that woman burst into tears and said, "No, I'm not. I'm in debt bondage. I'm in a situation where I don't have choice and control over my life, and I need to get out of this place." So that ordinary community member reached out to us, and we were actually able to remove three women from that massage parlor and to do it in a way that was safe and appropriate for them and gave them choice over their situation. So ordinary people have brought people to us after they found someone crying in the park when they were walking by. People in domestic servitude, you know, and again, another industry. People don't think there's a domestic servitude kind of industry or that people have nannies or live in maids in this country. Well, they're out there. Yeah. Sometimes they're... People are told, oh, that's my cousin or that's a family member. But, you know, if that person never leaves the house, if that person never appears to have any time off and that a person appears to be a bit unwell or not having a lot of freedom of movement, perhaps it's time to ask that person, are you okay? Do you want to be in this situation?
With the global trade, Jenny, in human trafficking worth billions every year, how do we win this war? Are we getting traction, even while having conversations like this one today?
I don't think we're... I think we're definitely tipping the scales in the favor of ending slavery. So when I started this work 15 years ago, if I went online and tried to find something around best practice in service provision or, you know, slavery and supply chains, there was pretty much nothing out there. So if you go online now, there's a tremendous proliferation of information. We know and understand more about this issue probably than at any other time in history. And that gives us an incredible opportunity to organize and use you know, online communication to really create the largest movement against slavery that there ever has been. So ending slavery is definitely possible. We've got people like Twiggy Forrest and Bill Gates, you know, some of the world's most successful business people putting their brains to this and putting their intention to end slavery towards this. So it's absolutely possible. It's a choice. We can choose to do it.
Has social media been a boon in this space for the anti-trafficking movement?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, social media has been a boon for human rights around the world on many, many issues. So this is just an unprecedented time that we're living in. For the average person who maybe really cares about this issue but really only has 15 minutes or 20 minutes a week to get involved, we want to create that platform for them to take that step and be a clicktivist or a, you know, online activist, because all of that makes a difference.
Endslavery.salvos.org.au. It's a fantastic site to go visit. Do it now. Don't put it off. Send yourself a reminder. Put it in your calendar. Make some space to really connect with the fact that there are slaves around us right now in this country. This is not over there somewhere. This is just around the corner from where we are right now. And I want to thank you for your time, Jenny. Thank you for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.